ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm David Marr, host of Late Night Live on Radio National, where nothing's off limits.
You know, part of being an adult is dealing with discomfort.
We gather the sharpest minds around to hash over what's shaping this crazy world.
Both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party succumbed to big money.
Late Night Live, four new shows a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
New South Wales has more data centres than anywhere else in Australia. Massive buildings full of computers that power everything from ChatGPT to your Netflix account. This week, a government inquiry heard an interesting proposal that AI companies should have to prove they haven't used stolen data to train their systems, or they won't get permission to build their data centres here. So can a state government actually force some of the world's most powerful companies to clean up their act? My name is Ray Johnston, and welcome to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Now joining me to unpack some of the biggest stories in tech right now and why they matter for all of us, we have Meg Coffey, founder of State of Social. Welcome back, Meg.
Hello, glad to be here.
And we have Lee Stark, editor of picker.com.au, tech journalist for the last 20 years or so.
Something like that.
First time on Download This Show. Welcome to Download This Show, Lee.
Thank you. No, thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. Now, book publishers, including Hachette and Macmillan, they've filed a lawsuit in New York against Mark Zuckerberg specifically and Meta. Meg, what is this case all about? Who are these publishers involved? What are they alleging exactly?
So, look, this one's a really interesting one because it's not the first time that publishers or authors have tried to sue over AI training, right? This one is really unique in that the publishers are alleging that Meta has used their products, their books, their things, and in particular, this one author has said his work has been used to train their models on, you know, how to everything, right? So we know that these models need to learn things. So they're taking these books and they're using them to learn how to react more human, shall we say. The problem here is that there is this fair use thing that's out there. And where Meta's gotten away with it before is that they said that they've been training under fair use models. This lawsuit is saying, no, they actually acknowledge there is internal acknowledgement around let's supersede fair use and do what we can and let's use pirated works. And that's where it's kind of all unraveling.
Right. So they're using pirated versions of these books.
Well, they're using the copyrighted works, but the way that they access the copyrighted works is not necessarily legal and not necessarily through the fair use methods that everybody has agreed on is the fair use an okay way to do this kind of stuff.
Right. So take me back a little bit here, Lee. How does training an AI on text actually work? What is happening here?
Yeah, so weirdly, a lot of people think it's just feeding a PDF to an AI model. That's not how it works at all. You feed it in chunks, so you convert aspects of the text to question and answer pairs, ideally, and then you basically turn those into something, into tokens effectively, that an AI model can read and be trained upon. You need millions of these things to make a good model. So at points you need billions, in fact, to the point where if you see numbers next to AI models, they say things like 7B, that means 7 billion parameters. That's effectively what that means. So some go as high as trillions. And so you need all those texts there. You basically need to turn it into a whole bunch of questions and answers. You need information about what they are, and that can help train the model on a whole bunch of information effectively to ascertain whether it knows the answer to something or it doesn't.
And presumably, the more data, the more information, the more text that gets fed in, the more complex answers it can provide.
Absolutely. So it's very much kind of like a human. That's what they're trying to go for. The more you know, the more you can actually say.
Right. Okay. So we've got that context there. Meg, I want to come back to you on the point that this lawsuit names Zuckerberg personally. Legally, why does this matter? Is he the one that was actually on the Pirate Bay? What's going on here?
Well, look, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't describe the exact legal ramifications, and I'm not accusing anyone of doing anything here.
No, this is all allegations at this point. Right. It's currently in court.
What this is saying, though, is that that Zuckerberg was allegedly aware of conversations or approvals to do things outside what is allegedly agreed to be fair use. And I think that's where we're at, is this fair use. So people are allowed to use items of copyrighted material, right? As long as it's not in a commercial gain, as long as there's a whole list of ways that you can use copyrighted material, and that's fair use. What these training models are doing is going outside that, and they're using, you know, pirated methods. Like, remember when we used to download music via LimeWire? Allegedly, we did that. Using sites like that, and feel free to jump in and correct me, Lee, but, you know, using sites like that to pirate the copyrighted information, get access to it in a way that supersedes that fair use. And what the lawsuit says is that allegedly the executive team, you know, allegedly approved this.
Executive team being Mark Zuckerberg, because the Meta is set up in such a way that he can't ever be ousted from the company. So he effectively is Meta when it comes to a case like this.
Yes, he is. And I can think that's what's important about this, is that the model they're training, the Llama model, that's effectively what they're trying to sell access to. You kind of don't get a choice with Meta at the moment. It's built into Insta, it's built into Facebook, it's built into WhatsApp. So
you accidentally hit that button all the time, and I'm so upset by it.
And if you're unfortunate to have the glasses, it's kind of built into the app as well. So the glasses, which are always recording and always sending video to a different part of the world, even when you don't want them to. So there's that side of things. But the whole Llama model they're building, it's not an open source model in the way that it's freely available. You can actually download parts of the Llama model for yourself and run them locally. But there are also selling aspects. So the fair use side of things becomes problematic because it is for commercial gain.
Yep. So Meta apparently budgeted up to $200 million for licensing before walking away. What do you think that decision tells us about what Meta's plans were? Because, you know, if we've set the groundwork here by saying that these models need to be trained on, you know, as much text as they can be given so that they can be good models that you could sell, because people don't want to buy bad products, right? They're going to need more text.
They probably thought, hey, let's do this the right, allegedly thought, someone maybe thought, let's do this the right way, realized how expensive it was going to be, realized they could get it for a lot cheaper doing it a different way, and proposed doing it that way.
It's also a time issue. So you to ask someone for permission, which is what they should have done. They should have asked for permission, plain and simple. It wouldn't have been difficult to do that. They could have paid small amounts, pittance probably. They still could have asked.
You get one, you got to get all.
That's right. And then it
opens the floodgates, because then they can't say the fair use thing, because they go, we acknowledge, apparently, that we acknowledge one, so we have to acknowledge the rest.
And they have to throw out things at that point that they would have normally had access to, under pretense, effectively.
Okay. So I'm thinking about, you know, more locally, Australian writers and publishers that are caught up in this.
There are a few, yeah.
What can they do about it?
Join the lawsuit.
Nothing?
There's not a lot they can do. Australia's got different rights regarding that. I mean, we have different rules. That's partly why that whole LimeWire comment is actually really an interesting one, because as it is, downloading media itself, download the show on what we're on, is a really unusual situation for Australia. It's distinct from other parts of the world. Yeah. So there's not a lot they can do beyond hope their publisher is also joining it as well. So Hachette's part of it. Getting every other publisher you could possibly think of to join would be an option. But it's a question of whether this will actually go anywhere, because we do see with lawsuits about AI, it feels like they kind of disappear into the ether, or that there's someone arguing for the sake that this is good for humanity that we're doing this, when there should be some rules.
Absolutely. So if the publishers win this case, what actually happens to Meta's AI models? You can't really strip this information out once it's in, right?
You can't, because once it's in, you can't even track where it's in. It's in so many different... you have to treat it like a bit of a human brain. You can't suddenly say, hey, Ray, forget about me, because we know each other. We've known each other for years. But you would be able to say, pull the memories out. And you can do that with humans. You can throw out the photos. You can't do that with an AI model because it's in so many places. So they would have to retrain from the very beginning.
And with that, you've been listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Ray Johnston here with you, and I'm joined by Meg Coffey, founder of State of Social, and Lee Stark, editor of Pika.com.au. And there was a recent New South Wales parliamentary inquiry into data centres. A few different proposals came out. You know, one of them directly related to the previous topic we were just talking about as well, with meaning that AI companies would have to certify their models to not use illegally obtained training data before they can get planning approval to build in the state. And planning approval's been something that's been quite lax in New South Wales of recent times. So seeing a proposal like this put forward, it's quite heartening, but I'm not sure if it can be enforced.
I don't think it can.
I love it though. I think that's what it should be, but it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen for a different reason. Data centers are likely to run multiple models. And so by a company could say our model doesn't do that and then open their data center and all of a sudden it does, because a lot of these models are trained by third parties. You just have to go on the idea of, yes, we definitely followed the law. We didn't follow the law at all. So because they run multiple models, it's unlikely.
Because they allegedly run multiple models,
it's unlikely it would actually hold any water, so to speak.
Oh, I see what you did there, Lee. Now, New South Wales already has 90 data centres. There's dozens more in the process of being built. It's more than anywhere else in Australia, more than any other state. So why has so much of this infrastructure ended up concentrated in New South Wales? Is it just our laws here? Our planning regulations were a little more lax? Is it the environment? What's going on here?
Population?
I would say population,
Yeah, close to you guys.
Yeah, 100%. It's close to us. To be honest, I'm actually surprised WA doesn't have as much. For years, WA was touted as kind of like the Silicon Valley of Australia. So I was kind of surprised that WA didn't receive quite the amount of investment that New South Wales has. But population is more than likely the reason. I want to say it's bad for every place that gets it. Again, this is largely because data centers, most of which rely on diesel, they consume endless amounts of petrol and water. Even though the fact that they could theoretically be solar, they could use better hardware in general. That's the big problem we've got here, is that they destroy the environment and there's no real recourse to fix it. Mm.
And they will get better. I mean, they have gotten better from where they were, but it's still, it's not getting better fast enough for the damage that it's causing.
Absolutely. And speaking of the environmental impacts, we have had a recent episode of Download This Show that really highlights the amount of energy and water being used and examines some of the sources looking into that. So if you are listening to the podcast version of Download This Show, you can find a link to that episode down there in the notes. Now, do we think using planning approval as leverage to force AI transparency is a realistic idea? Do we really have the power as New South Wales state government to make these multinational huge companies, some of the biggest in the world right now, apply to our laws and regulations?
Look, laws, we know that the laws are so behind technology. They have been for the history of it all, right? The laws can't keep up. My instinct when you ask that question, Ray, is that if we can have the little local, planning team that can actually move the button quickly, pull levers quickly. If it's the local shire that says, you know what, unless you agree to our rules, you're not coming in.
It's like the Blue Mountain City Council with McDonald's.
Yeah, and there's lots of cases like that where your local, your local town council, whatever, doesn't allow certain things, right? You don't want the chains in there. I think that's a lot easier to facilitate than going, hey, WA, you got to pass a law, or hey, Australia, you need to pass a law. If it can start in the ground roots, it can happen a lot faster would be the optimist in me saying it.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah, on a local level, having the people who would eventually be living next to these data centres being the ones who are having their voices heard to say, you know, either adhere to the rules that we're putting in place, you know, come with your own power and water and make it silent, and don't run it on illegally obtained data or get out.
The problem is, and I try to say this because I try to be an optimist, but I'm a realist, is that, so where I live in the Shire, I'll give you an example. Where I live in the Shire in Sydney, they actually have three tobacconists in the space of one suburb, which makes no sense in this era because city planning should be able to say, most people don't smoke. It's bad for you. Maybe this would be bad. And my worry about this sort of thing is that as much as the population has said, we don't want it, councils will typically vote where money goes. Mm. And so my immediate concern is people will say what they want to say, and that's important. They definitely should. But councils don't always listen to that.
Mm. And we don't want to overregulate, right? So it's that fine line of it. Of course, you know, and of course, if we're going to get a brand new swimming pool out of it, because, you know, sure, you know, people might look the other way. But yeah. I think local, you have the ability to change things at a local level a lot faster than you do at a, you know, at a state or federal level.
It is interesting as well, because most of the time when there's environmentally destructive developments happening in areas, they will come with the jobs promise. Yeah. You know, we're going to bring jobs to the area. What is the jobs promise, though, going
forward?
We're
taking yours.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a good promise.
No, that's a terrible promise, Meg. I don't think this is going to go well for them. If this proposal is put into practice, and if a company had to certify that their models are free of stolen data,
they wouldn't be able to prove it.
Yeah, how would anyone actually be able to verify that?
You wouldn't. And that's also why this is problematic. You wouldn't be able to prove it. We can't just say, empty everything that you trained. You could actually take the training data and look at a giant spreadsheet or CSV. You could do it, but no one is going to do it. As I said, billions of parameters.
Absolutely. No way to know. You are listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National. Ray Johnston here with you. I'm joined by Lee Stark, who is the editor of picker.com.au, and also Meg Coffey, founder of State of Social. And the AI data center boom has created a global hard drive shortage. Anyone who's tried to build a gaming PC in recent years is quite upset right now. Organizations feeling it the hardest, though, I've been hearing, are nonprofits. And the Internet Archive is one of those nonprofits. And it says that the drives it relies on are now either unavailable entirely or dramatically more expensive. Now, we do talk about the Internet Archive a fair bit on Download This Show. I'm a big fan. But Lee, could you tell us what the Internet Archive is and also the Wayback Machine?
So the Internet Archive and the Wayback Machine specifically are effectively exactly what they say. They are an archive of everything that happens on the internet, as ideally anything that can be logged or is designed or is written in a way where Google is actually allowed to look at it, so where search bots are allowed to. So if you have a website, every so often a little bot will come, scrape your website, downloads very small amounts. It's not downloading everything. It's getting the text. It's getting some of the layout, and it archives it. And so over time, you can go back through someone's website. You can go back through mine or ABC's, anyone's, and see what it looked like a year ago or 15 years ago. I no joke, there is my first version of a website on there back from when I was 9.
That's how
I'm built into
the
carpet of the
internet. Didn't exist then.
Yeah, it well started to actually. I think it was maybe 11.
Built the internet, yeah. Mike. He's been around for that long.
Been around so long, I've just never been on Download the Show up until this point.
Anyway,
the point is that the archive basically grabs everything, and it will grab partial grabs. It'll grab full grabs. That's determined by the color when you look at the website, and you can find it for any website. It's crucial because it's important to see where we've come from, where we're going. It's basically Hansard for the internet. It's kind of perfect in a way because you can see everything. Where this gets problematic is that we've heard about the AI shortage. Do you know why we have so many storage problems? It's because all the hardware that we would normally use to build SSDs and memory are going to server components. Mm. So building those data centers is a problem because instead of manufacturing all the memory we need for phones and laptops and the SSDs and even some of the hard drives that we're using to build massive storage systems, it's all now going to data center production. So as a result, there's less stuff for people. There's less stuff for companies. There's less stuff for hard drive companies. And you're in this sticky situation where if you need to upgrade your computer, It will now cost more, a lot more. If you need a new hard drive to back up your computer, it's anywhere between 2 and 5 times the price it was a year ago. And so it's happening also for archivers. They use anywhere between 18 and 72 terabytes per archive that they're doing. And those drives have now jumped in price by anywhere between 3 and 7 times the price. And they were already quite expensive.
Well, it's wild. I thought it was a TikTok trend. Like, I didn't believe people because I was like, come on. Like, I just bought one of those. I mean, it was expensive, but it wasn't that expensive. And I genuinely didn't believe it. And so I knew we were going to talk about this today. So I went back and I looked at the receipt for what I paid. And then I pulled up the exact same thing at Officeworks. And I tell you what, my jaw is on the floor.
Mm. How much did the price change, Meg?
A lot. Yeah. And I don't understand. Like, I genuinely thought that it was like a TikTok trend.
Like cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Is cottage cheese a TikTok trend?
Oh, my gosh. The difficulty I've had in just getting cottage cheese to put on my Kruskets for an afternoon snack.
You can make it yourself, you know.
Devastated. I know, but that's timely. Anyway, Meg, to lean into your horror a little, because clearly I enjoy you in this state. I'm so sorry. So you've got AI companies that have scraped the internet to build their models, and now the organisations preserving the history of the internet are being priced out of storage because of those AI companies. Well, how do you feel about that?
I'm not happy about it because, like, I need to be able to give some information to some people to help me. And so I need hard drives to transfer that information.
If anyone's got a spare hard drive, Meg needs your hard drive. This
is
an emergency.
Or actually, if I gave you one in the past 6 months, could I have it back? Huh. That, you know? Obviously I am in a state about this because it personally impacts me. And I wasn't paying attention until it did personally impact me.
Well, that's what happens, though.
It impacts everyone, though, in a way they don't expect. So if you want to buy a new phone this year, it costs you more because the memory and the SSD effectively used on that, which is not technically an SSD, it's memory in general. The memory both for RAM and for storage comes from the same sort of hardware. If you want to buy an Xbox, same sort of problem. PlayStation, Sony's increased prices as a result. And laptops significantly are going up. So over in the Windows side of the world, it's anywhere between $3,000 and $6,000 for what was a laptop that would have cost maybe $15,000 to $2,000 last year. In the Mac world, it's gone up as well. But Apple has a little bit more control of their supply chain. That being said, they're beginning to see changes. The Mac Mini, which was until last week the probably the best value you could find in AI, has now disappeared because they can't support it with memory.
But also everyone is buying their Mac Minis so that they can run OpenClaw AI systems.
They can run local AI, and that's where this whole thing gets kind of crazy, because we do have the ability to support local AI, but if you don't have a lot of memory, you can't run the really big models. Ah. And so that's where a lot of that comes in. So OpenClaw and any agent like it, there's quite a few of them, still connect to the large models over in the cloud. You can make them run locally, but if you want them to load bigger models, you need memory, and that memory is out of stock.
Well, now that we've thoroughly depressed ourselves here on Download This Show on ABC Radio National, Ray Johnston here with you.
The real show I joined for my first time, really.
Lee Stark, I will allow you to begin with sharing some tech that has brought you joy recently.
So the tech that brings me joy is basically streaming music. It seems crazy. When I was a kid, my dad controlled the CD collection, and so I grew up with jazz and vinyl, which is fine, jazz and rock. But as someone who has kids of my own now, I love the fact that I don't have to actually buy all the music. I can stream what I want, and I can educate them on all the music I grew up with, plus all the new amazing stuff out there. And so streaming music, radio is amazing, don't get me wrong. I actually adore radio, but I also adore knowing that my kids have a speaker in their room and they can just call out if they've heard something that we have. So my four-year-old always wants Jazz 3, which she thinks is Dave Brubeck's Take 5, but that's how she connects it. And my eight-year-old is jumping between Dua Lipa and rock and classical and jazz. And so I love the fact that streaming music from a technology standpoint is actually allowing me to educate and open my kids' brains and minds without necessarily looking to my CD collection, which is dire if I go back and look at it. Yeah.
Beautiful. And Meg, tell me about some tech that's brought you joy this week.
in a complete 180 to absolutely everything I've just said on this show, Claude is bringing me some joy, and AI is bringing me some joy lately. I've got a couple really big projects that I'm working on, and it's nice to have a sounding board, and it surfaces the blind spots, the things that I know I need to do, but I really don't want to, and so maybe have forgotten. And yeah, so Claude right now and AI, I think it's fascinating. We tried something, we attempted something. Who's better, the human or the AI? And in the end, the human is just better every time. But for the simple task, like, can you remind me to do this? Or can you put a task in Asana for me? Oh my gosh, I love AI in that regard.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me on Download This Show this week. Lee, where can people find you and your work? What are you working on at the moment?
You can find me at picker.com.au, and you can find me on ABC Sydney and ABC Melbourne Drive programs, actually.
And you've built an AI recently for ABC legend Dr. Carl.
We have. We're actually trying to convert it to a mobile app at the moment. The version I've got on my laptop, which I'll show you later on, is basically a version of him that speaks. You wouldn't believe this, but some people don't believe in climate change, and Dr. Carl can't be everywhere at once, so we've created an AI version of him that can talk to people about climate change and show data about it to try and convince them that, hey, this stuff is actually real.
That's amazing.
And it talks like him too.
So you can set up Dr. Carl at the barbecue with your grumpy uncle that doesn't believe in climate change and just have him talk to him instead.
Dr. Carl doesn't know this, and he will once he hears this, but he's become so common in our house from me playing it back that every time my 4-year-old and my 8-year-old hear him, they're like, hey, Dr. Carl. They've started calling Uncle Dr. Carl for that.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Uncle Dr. Carl, that's it. It's official. And Meg Coffey, where can people find you and your work? What are you working on at the moment?
So stateofsocial.com.au is Australia's favourite, if I may say so myself, social media and digital marketing conference. It's held every August in Perth, and everybody in marketing or comms should come because it's wonderful and it's my favourite thing that I do every year, amongst many other things.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for joining me. It's been delightful.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
And some more tech news now from the week that was. In case you missed it, Meta, TikTok and Roblox have told the UK Parliament that Australia's under 16 social media ban will not work, arguing it is unenforceable and that their platforms are not addictive to children. OpenAI has updated ChatGPT's default model to GPT 5.5 Instant, claiming a 52% reduction in hallucinations on high-stakes questions in medicine, law, finance. That's based on the company's own internal testing. And finally, cybersecurity agencies from Australia, the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, and New Zealand have issued a joint warning about agentic AI systems, flagging serious new risks when those systems are deployed in critical infrastructure. The guidance urges organisations to treat autonomous AI agents as security sensitive, particularly when they have access to credentials, data and production workflows with limited human oversight. And that's all for Download This Show this week. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating and a review where you can. And you can also contact us directly. You can email downloadthisshow@abc.net.au, or you can slide into my DMs on Instagram at Ray Johnston. We do have a debate currently raging in our Download This Show inbox. We've got a lot of people who really love the theme and don't want it changed. Marty emailed to say, just adding a note to keep the theme jingle. Like the others have said, I look forward to hearing it each week. But I would add, it would be jarring to have it replaced. Imagine Bluey without the melodica. It takes years to match a theme show to a theme song. Don't risk it. P.S. Love the show, particularly Tech Joy. Nice addition. Thanks so much, Marty. Tell us what you're enjoying about Download This Show. You can email downloadthisshow@abc.net.au. My name is Ray Johnston, and you've been listening to Download This Show on ABC Radio National.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.